It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. It is Thursday, January 14th, and we are on today. Tom and Shane, No Business in Politics. Hey, if you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. Hit the little like a button and like us on YouTube. We'll be happy to. We need subscribers. We're trying to get to 500 subscribers, so please help us out with that. If you wouldn't mind, we would appreciate that very much. And Shane Tobin is with me, Tom Eaglehoff, and we are about ready to get going here. But a couple things you need to know. First of all, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll take on business topic to help your small, your home-based, or your startup business succeed. And, of course, our political shows are on radio on Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Click listen now. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to leave any personal information, no email, no credit cards, no nothing. All you got to do is click listen now, and you can call us, you can text us, you can do all of those great things. And also, if you missed any of our past shows, you can listen or watch our past shows. Our Saturday shows are recorded, not live, not video. So you can go to KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and please share that with your friends. And Shane, how are you doing this morning?
Cold. Boy, is it cold. It's definitely winter.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Sandy's on with us. Sandy says hi. Thanks, Sandy, for being here. We appreciate that very much. And well, today, Shane, we've got a big topic to talk about. We're going to talk about how to protect your small business from all sorts of outside interference, patents, copyrights, trademarks, service marks, trade secrets, confidentiality agreements, all sorts of things that protect your privacy in your business.
It's all right. Very important, especially if you've already started off and have developed what is called a logo or a service mark. And in the reference of the world of legality, that can become a trademark. And you have a lot more protection with trademarking your intellectual property, your good, which is a product you provide, or your service that you provide. It's a lot less expensive to protect in the law, because the law is recent, as 1979, and then federal law in 94 and 96. So the precedent of trademarks is young. It's developed, and it's more powerful than having a patent, actually. And there's no exposure, because the trademark is just, as I said, your service mark or logo that you've started with.
Yeah. Well, patents and trademarks do two different things. So let's start with patents first of all. First of all, some things you can't patent. You can't patent an idea. I can't patent a brown or clear, sugary, fizzy drink. Can't do it. So I can patent Coke, the formula for Coke, formula for 7-Up, but I can't patent the idea of something. So, and normally patents are things you can hold in your hands. They're vacuum cleaners, they're toasters, they're medical equipment, they're any number of things like that, and they can be pricey. Patents can be pricey to attain. And I'll go through the pricing of some in just a minute, but the important thing you have to realize is that the patent law changed a few years ago. It used to be the first person to make the machine or the device was protected. Now it's the first person who files. So this becomes even more important, because you've got to protect your patent and file as soon as possible, because if you're talking to other people about your idea and they have the resources to make that a product that product, and if they patent it first, even though you had the prototype before, even though you had the idea before, even though you have everything in place to make this thing happen, whoever files first gets the patent.
That's right. And it was Patton and Hamilton, founding fathers in the 18th century, 1886, I believe, that when you set up the U.S. Patent Office. But the great deception about a patent is twofold. Number one, you have to disclose everything about the patent to get one, mm-hmm. which is dangerous right. because without any protection globally, you're giving up to the world what you've created, and they have no restrictions at all. Secondly, they, you know, once you've registered, they give you a false narrative or false protection in thinking that you can defend it by saying, you know, you have a patent pending. Well, the third problem with that is because of the nature of the patent office and the bureaucracy. You know, it can take anywhere from 2 to 4 years for them to do a job that, you know, you can do now on the internet in a couple hours. Literally, you really can with the different applications that are out there for engineering, historical reference with Wikipedia and so forth. You can find out if there's anything similar or what you're trying to patent. The other side of this issue too becomes what's called, you know, intellectual property, because that's a different type of a burden, but we'll get into that as we continue the conversation.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Well, the cost of patents, there's a big cost involved. I know you can go on the internet and they'll say, get a patent for $49. You're not getting a patent for $49. I'm sorry. It just ain't going to happen. So let's go over some of the costs of obtaining a patent. First of all, you'll have to have an attorney to file the patent for you. You don't have to, but if you want it protected properly, you are going to have to. So there's several types of patents. One is an extremely simple patent. So, for example, if you had an electric switch, a coat hanger, paperclip, diaper, earmuffs, ice cube tray, the filing fees are going to cost you about $5,000 to $7,000, and then a patent search is another $1,000 to $1,250. And if you have a relatively simple patent, like a board game, an umbrella, retractable dog leash, a belt clip for a cell phone, a toothbrush, a flashlight, something like that, you're looking at $7,000 to $8,500 for the filing fees for that, and again $1,000 to $1,250 for the patent search. If you got something like a power tool, a lawnmower, a camera, you're looking at $8,500 to $10,000 and another $1,250 for the filing fee, or for the patent search rather. And if you got something like a riding lawnmower or a solar concentrator or a cell phone, you're looking at $10,000 to $12,000 and again $1,500 to $1,750 for a search. And if you got something like a shock absorbing prosthetic device, that's $12,000 to $14,000 filing fees, and another $1,700 to $2,000 for a search. And if you got something highly complex like an MRI scanner, a satellite technology, something like that, you're looking at $14,000 to $16,000 plus $2,000 to $5,000 for a search. And if you've got something software or automated systems, business methods, much like Parler, for example, $16,000 or more, and $2,500 to $3,000 for the search. So a patent is not cheap. The other costs that are involved, you've got to have specific drawings of your product. These have to be engineered drawings. They've got to be very specific. They can take months to draw, and also a person drawing those plans for you is going to cost you some money. So patents, you know, if you've got a really good idea, hey, go for it. But keep in mind that you're gonna have some upfront costs that are pretty heavy for patenting a product. So,
and this is one of the major concerns that all people in small business that have with new ideas. And the bottom line is that you're going to have to retain. I'm going to use that word again: retain a lawyer, an accountant, and very much an engineering firm. Mm-hmm. And when I say retain, they're going to ask for a minimum amount of money be deposited with them in their with their firm, and that amount be maintained. So as Tom's pointed out, these costs, they then one will take it upon themselves to pay them. They will pay them for you. And that will go against the retainer. So as an example, if you have to pay some fee for a patent of $15,000, they'll pay it. Now you're down to 10 in the retainer that you have, and they expect you to write a check that day for $15,000, so it maintains its position of 25. They're not doing this work for free, and they're not doing it up front, and they don't expect you to pay them afterwards, so they want you to pay them as it moves, and they want to know you have the money to be able to afford it. The ongoing costs, they know are going to happen, so they want to know you're going to be able to afford that as well. So these are things, again, in your business plan that we've talked about, and your financial plan and your income statement that you have to plan for in accordance of what's going to be required. That's why it's important to be quite certain of the different aspects of this that, you know, that you're going to have. And now that's just talking about the patent. We haven't even gotten to the trademark. And that's why it's so important, because there are a lot of reasons why trademarks and or patents.
Whoa, slow down. You've got the list of things we're going to talk about. So don't start off on trademarks, because we haven't got to copyright yet.
I didn't. No, I was just saying trademarks have costs too.
Yeah, but yeah. Not nearly as much. But
they're added costs. So there you will have other costs besides patents at the very beginning. Yes.
Oh, yeah, you will. No question. Yeah. Copyright. Let's talk a little bit about copyright, because we have I'm an author. So I have intellectual property. A copyright is normally anything that you put down on paper to make it easy. There could be other things, but certainly if you write a book, you write a play, you create a TV program idea, something like that. Normally, it is automatically copyrighted the moment you do it. However, you do need to register it in order for it to be legally protected. Now, again, what used to happen would be that if you created a book or a manuscript, you would put that in an envelope, you would send it to yourself registered mail, and you would not open it. And if you were ever sued or had a court action against you, you could prove by opening that envelope with the postal date on it when it was done. So that would be one way to protect something of copyright. Now, copyright is 90, the life of the person plus 90 years. So copyright's pretty in there.
That definition means that it's the date of the copyright and, of course, the death of the person, and then it becomes public domain. Music is 75 years, but the writings or poetry of books, anything that you create is 90.
Yeah, and you can renew them. So the family estate or whatever could renew the copyright if they... You know, there's certain things you go through to do that. Patents also, we forgot to mention, those need to be renewed on a regular basis. Usually it's every 10 or 15 years, something like that. I forget the exact date, but keep in mind, obviously you got everything done. You're just doing a renewal, so that's not going to be as expensive as the original outlay. So...
And with intellectual property and or a product itself that you've patented, as the success of it evolves and you make changes or you adapt it, that extends the patent as well. Mm-hmm. So those are one of the reasons that pharmaceutical companies are really big on their trademarks and patents, because, you know, if they can change even the smallest chemical aspect of medication, you know, they can extend the patent on it. And they do, you know, they go to great lengths to do that, to protect that long-term, you know, value of their product.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. All right. Yeah, copyrights, again, they're for almost anything that you write down, anything you create verbally or reading. That's why a copyright is important, to protect that intellectual property. copyright, I don't believe, is protected worldwide. I think anybody can rip you off overseas on a copyright. So don't know.
Well, no, sure. That's true. But there are, you can copyright products and music globally in specific countries individually.
Yeah.
Or you know, in government agencies like the UN will accept copyrights and trademarks. And so there are ways to protect you, but it's very, once again, it's very expensive.
It's pricey.
You got to go through the same process that you did before. And of course, your lawyer here doesn't represent you there. You'd have to have a lawyer in whatever country you're wherever at. So 108 countries, boy,
a lot of lawyers. Go for it. Or somebody who does intellectual law or intellectual property law, I guess, would have the contacts to take care of that for you. Well, along with trademarks, we've also got service marks. And if you're not sure what a service mark is, if you care enough to send the very best, would be one for Hallmark. Fly the Friendly Skies would be a service mark for United Airlines. And Oh What a Feeling for Toyota. And This Bud's for You for Budweiser. So all of those little sayings, if there's a saying out there that people become synonymous with your business, then you can also register a service mark. And so you know, if you got some kind of a catchy phrase, then you can also protect that from other people using it.
That's right. And you know, there are a lot of ways, as we said, the internet is very specific about this, but there's also government agencies. One is called TEAS, and it's for new examples and applications for trademarks or PDFs, as they call them. And these things all help you protect your interests and protect what you've created. So it's just a matter of follow up and going to the different websites that are recommended when you search something. And again, just following the instructions that you've been given by your lawyers in dealing with it. So TEAS is a trademark electronic application system that is online. It's tremendous because it gives you instant access globally to the potential of your trademark conflict if you have one that someone else already has. So that's a great site to go to. Goods and Services Manual is provided by USPTO, which is a government agency, interestingly enough, that you use for trademarks. United States for postal trademarks, as Tom talked about, is the best way to utilize it is to send yourself something. But that's the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So it's an expanding thing because technology moves quicker than government. We know that, but you still have to keep up with the law and you have to protect yourself both ways, going and creating and someone coming at you.
There you go. From Dan, in 1989, I created a cartoon character named Nick the Newspaper, and copyright was sent to the Library of Congress, and it cost me $10. So let's talk a little bit about what the cost of copyrights and service marks are. A copyright normally will run you anywhere from probably $50 to $65, depending on the type of form. Unless you file it online, that'll only cost you $35. So prices have come up since Dan did his in 89. Expedited service for processing an application can set you back $760. And expedited certification will cost $265. And renewal of a copyright can cost between $115 and $220, depending on what it is and you know, what's going on with it. There's always going to be costs involved in there.
Yeah. Copyright, particularly for music and or books, oddly enough, in both cases, you can have a publisher who will protect you or should, depending on the contract you sign with them and, you know, how you set that protection up. they're basically there not only to provide the service to get your product out, be it music or a book or something that you've written, rather. And so, you know, you do have people that will come along with you that want to participate in your success. Because, of course, music and writing has got a much bigger opportunity for quicker success than, you know, creating a product and distribution and so forth that we will and have talked about already. So it's always important to manage the timelines that you're dealing with, again, in your business plan, your financial statement, because they change directly in response to the type of product that you're going to utilize and create a career around.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to trade secrets, because sometimes you'll have a formula or something like that. Keep in mind that Coke has never patented their formula. They keep it in two different places. They keep half of it in one place, half of it in another place. Nobody knows the full formula. So they have never patented that or trademarked it. Yellow Pages are not trademarked. For whatever reason, I don't know. But anyway, the trade secrets like the Coke formula and some of the other things have to be protected so that employees who are in the process of creating your material or your product, they can't go out in the world after they stop working for you and say, well, here's how Coke does it, or here's how McDonald's, here's their secret sauce recipe or whatever. So trade secrets are pretty important, and you need to make sure that those are protected through your again, through your attorney, and also through your employee manual. Employee manuals, you can get them at the your local job service. They'll help you set one up for free. You can add in anything you want. But again, down the road, we're going to talk about employees. And unless it's spelled out in the employee manual how a person is discharged, you may be in trouble if you fire someone under the wrong without adhering to the employment contract agreement. So all of these trade secrets and things like that, very important to secure your things that happen within your four walls.
Yes, it's always relevant, and as Thomas pointed out, the bottom line is making the deal clear, particularly with co-founders. If it's something you've developed yourself, it's somewhat easier because it's your own personal intellectual property. We've talked about you can initiate and protect before you bring in investors. But if it's a group of people that have worked together to, you know, create something, like in the Facebook case or in Microsoft's case or Apple, you know, there were different people involved. And it's always important that you have not only a non-disclosure, which is what it says it is, nobody can disclose anything, you know, but a non-competitive agreement. Because one of the biggest problems, of course, you may have is you have a founder that works with you and then decides, nah, I don't want to work with you anymore, and goes off and starts their own company and starts producing the same product. And because you didn't clarify who owns the intellectual property, meaning i.e. the business you've already set up or you yourself, they by rights can then start up a company on their own. So non-disclosure, non-circumvention agreements are very clear and very important. They're also very expensive. But the great thing is you can literally, again, go on the internet, go to other public companies. They have non-disclosure, non-circumvention agreements that they have filed because they're required to by law with the SEC. And so you can go and look. I mean, they're massive documents. And this is not just binge reading. It's like a weekend binge reading. But yeah. The important thing is they're there, and you save yourself a lot of money having a basic non-disclosure, non-circumvention agreement that you can actually draft yourself from what people have paid tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to be done.
Yeah. And depending on what the process is, the confidentiality agreement has to be spelled out in great detail as well. So you know, make sure, you know, it's not just, I'm not going to tell somebody about your product. It means I'm going to not tell you that we mix it here. We put this additive in, we do this, we do that, whatever. So check with your, again, with your attorney who will guide you through how detailed it has to be to protect the secrets of whatever trade secrets you have.
And now you're beginning to see the importance of where we started with, and we want to always remind you, go back to where we started and move through the process, because it is a process of establishing a corporation or an LLC, or even doing business as. So you have that understanding already from previous discussions, and now you know what we're adding to it. It's like building a building.
Yeah.
So each plan to move forward before you even decide to sell something or generate revenue is another floor on the building called your company. So you're be more successful. The more things you do at the beginning, the fewer mistakes you have at the beginning, middle, or end. So that's mm-hmm. the whole reason we want to go through all of these with you, share the information, add the advice as well.
Yeah. The two, well, there's probably three types of confidential agreements you'll sign. One, of course, is to protect any trade secrets. The other one is a non-compete that you won't work for another competitor. This is kind of iffy as to whether or not you can enforce this, because I did this in my personal life, and where I went from one company and went to work for a competing company, which was almost exactly the same services, same everything. And my attorney told me that they can't keep you from earning a living in a field you know. So that's where it may run into a problem. So your confidential agreement, your non-compete needs to be spelled out pretty well in order to protect an employee from taking everything about you and your clients and everybody else, which I did, took to a competitor. So make sure you have that all spelled out clearly.
Yeah, that's very true. And the things that the company you're leaving has responsibility to is itself and if it has shareholders. So clearly, as we have said, your best choices is with trademarks. Being a great way to provide cover for you in that situation. And so, you know, if you stipulate in your non-disclosure, non-circumvention agreements, clearly the trademark that has been established for the product that you have, and that there, you know, the necessity the company would have to do to protect it, or the action they would have to take, it pretty well establishes for that employee leaving the danger, because one of the things in a non-disclosure circumvention agreement you'll find very often is the right of the company to go after you as an individual. A lot of times someone will go and work for another company, and the company will promise that they'll protect them and they'll provide them cover. But if your non-disclosure circumvention agreement is done properly, that won't happen. And so an individual having to defend themselves, you know, which we're talking about retainer fees, and they can get very expensive when you start talking about lawsuits, actions against you from a corporation. You know, you may be looking at a $50,000 to $200,000 retainer for a lawyer, because, you know, it's those are long and expensive processes, like a patent that we've disclosed.
Yeah, it depends on how much protection you need for your product or service. Also, I forgot to mention earlier, we were talking about trademarks. When you submit your logo to for a trademark on your logo, you're going to have to spell out all the colors used, and colors have numbers universally for printers. So you're going to have to disclose all of the printer numbers, the color numbers you use, as well as any typefaces that you're using, any fonts as well. So make sure that you include that in your, and when and on the trademark, it pretty well lays that out. And so make sure that you do that. I just wanted to throw that in. Next, we want to talk about something really important, and this is confidentially and invention assignment agreements for employees. This is where an employee comes up with an idea. He's working for you. He's using your equipment, your facilities, and he comes up with an invention and decides, hey, this is my invention. I'm going to take it and run with it and make tons and millions of money. And so if you don't want that to happen, then we've got to spell out that if an employee creates something on your property using your facilities, your equipment, and whatever, that product belongs to you, the owner of the business, not the employee who created it.
Yeah, and a CIA agreement, a confidential information and inventions assignment agreements, one of the principal causes for those are your existing employer basically wants to establish pre-invention, you know, what some type, what type of entitlement they have, so that they may want to suggest, and you know, of course, you have to read any agreement that you sign, and you need to take it to a lawyer and get legal advice on any agreement that you sign, or it's not enforceable. So part of the agreements that you will get is that I've read this. B, I've sought legal advice about it. And C, I agree that, you know, if I do determine success at something while working for you, I may give you for the sake of argument, a negotiated 10% royalty on it. You might also have to consider that the company may ask for first right of refusal, meaning they want to have the first right of they want to have the first right to fund you. So if you've thought of something and you think that, and someone comes to you outside, a friend, a family member, and says, oh, gee, I'll give you the $50,000 for you to develop that, you may, under this agreement, have to go back to your present employer and say, well, I've been offered $50,000 to develop this. Are you prepared to meet that? And if so, fine. If not, then I'm going to move towards funding elsewhere. And that forces you then, as we pointed out, to set up what's called an S corporation, where you can have fewer than 100 shareholders, but start funding your company, even though you're still employed with this company. Mm-hmm. So you can work with your company. You don't necessarily just have to leave, but you have to be very, very aware of the agreement and make sure you get good advice, hopefully, from a lawyer. Now, another point, all kinds of confidential information agreements out there on the internet in public companies, whether in different areas, different industries, for you to read. They're all registered because of being public. They have to register these documents. So again, go do the research, make the comparisons, go read the different types of confidentiality agreements that people have signed, or, you know, how they've signed them to their benefit, because you can find it if you're willing to take the time to do it.
Amen. Yep. One of the sources you can go to, we'll publish the resources down below. If you're on YouTube, once we get this broadcast up on YouTube, we'll have the resources and everything at the bottom, and we'll also have them on our KMMSAM.com for the audio portion of this show. So we'll have the resources for those in both places. NOLO.com is one that you can get some legal information about that. You can contact attorneys, whatever. Many times the library, your local library, believe it or not, there's still some around. They often have this type of thing as well. They'll have a book of these. So you can look one up, copy it, take it home, and add whatever you want to do. Run it by an attorney just for the purposes of making sure you got everything you need, and then go from there. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Shane, you want to do a market wrap up for us?
If you like, you know, it's always important to be cognizant of the market. Today, the Dow Jones is showing some weakness in strength. It's only up 86 to 31,142. But, you know, it's holding over 30,000. We have always said that if it could hold between 31 and 32,000, that it's a strong indication the market may move higher. Standard Poor's 500 is up 7 points at 3,817. NASDAQ is up 20 points. The European markets are looking great, when as they should be. And, of course, the commodity markets are rule the world at this point because currencies are fluctuating so significantly. Crude oil is $55.90 in Europe, $52.99 in West Texas. Natural gas, $2.68, has to be over $2. We want that cost to be covered so it's profitable to produce in the United States. Gold is at $18.46, up $3. Silver is at $25. And the most important thing that, of course, everybody now is talking about aren't currencies, but it's Bitcoin. 39,717, folks, up 2,324. So it's up 5.2%. Lots of things happening in the market right now because of the variations in volumes that are trading, which means people are literally shorting stocks in a day trade. That's called a naked short, hoping in the flight of a day, a stock might drop 1-2% and they can buy it back in one day and make a trade. So lots of indications out there that this, well, it looks like a bull market. It's tedious. It may be on the edge. So have a great day. Be happy. Be safe.
All right. Linda says, thank you. I have started a book. Thank you for all the information. Well, we wish you well with that going on, hopefully. And hey, don't forget, if you're watching us on YouTube, by all means, subscribe. Hit the subscribe button down there to the lower right-hand side. That'll pop up the little notification bell. Click on that and click all, and you'll be notified whenever we have another podcast. And like us, and please comment. We'd be interested very much in what you have to say, and hopefully, you know, we've given you some good information. Shane mentioned Bitcoin. We're going to talk about Bitcoin a week from today with Mike McCormick, financial advisor. So Shane and I will chat with Mike, and also, of course, as you well know, that our political show is on every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Click listen now at KMMSAM.com. So make sure you get over there to hear that. We'll talk about business and politics over there for 3 hours. And by all means, you can tune in. You can call us. You can ask questions. You can text us. You can do all sorts of things. And, of course, if you missed any of our past shows, including this one, if you need the more information, watch or listen to our past shows at KMMSAM.com. Just go over there and click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and that'll get you there. And we want to thank everybody for listening and watching, and we really appreciate you guys supporting our channel. We're trying to get to 500 subscribers, so hey, make sure you hit that subscribe button and the notification bell, and let us know you're out there, because we need all the people we can get. So spread the word and let everybody know what's going on. So say goodbye, Shane.
I will indeed. Now, so be happy, be safe, live in the moment, because this is your moment. If you want to become an independent person and build a company of your own, it's important that you work to live. And that's the whole story. Don't just live to work, because that's important for you as your own person. Live to work. Yep. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Shane. And we'll see everybody Friday, 8 to 11 on the radio. We'll be back next Tuesday with another podcast. So by all means, keep that in mind. Let's see. One parting comment here, if I can get that up here. Yeah, Dan says, have a great week. We will, Dan. And Dan does the voiceover for our Saturday show. He introduces us. So thanks, Dan, for doing that for us. We really appreciate it. And so that'll do it for us. We are out of here. And hey, all views are welcome here. And if you think it there, there's a pretty good chance that we will say it here. So keep that in mind. All right. And thanks, everybody. And everybody have a great week. We are done. Thank you.